I get up real early too, but I go to bed late, so I do have
to. We'd like to welcome you to the 10 o'clock Sunday school class here at Williams Christian Fellowship, the discussion class. And today we are going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And since we don't have Buddy and Brenda here, who would like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 7? I thought we'd just go through 9 this morning, and then, and you know, if we can't find anything much to talk about in there, we'll go on to 10. Because after sex and marriage, the next one is divorce. So.
Oh. Okay.
Do you want it out of the Amplified Bible?
Sure. Yeah, good idea.
Okay. Just a second. 1 Corinthians, chapter 7. Sure, Debbie, you're a good reader. Read it.
Oh.
You want my,
No, he's got a big title.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my. I can read it from over here.
Yeah. Now, as to the matters of which you wrote, it is good, beneficial, advantageous for a man not to touch a woman outside marriage. They got that in parentheses. But because of the temptation to participate in sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. The husband must fulfill his marital duty to his wife with good will and kindness, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have exclusive authority over her own body, but the husband shares with her, and likewise the husband does not have exclusive authority over his body, but the wife shares with him. Do not deprive each other of marital rights except perhaps by mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves unhindered to prayer. But come together again so that Satan will not tempt you to sin because of your lack of self-control. But I'm saying this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all the people were as I am, but each person has his own gift from God, one of this kind and one of that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows that as a practical matter, it is good if they remain single and entirely devoted to the Lord as I am. But if they do not have sufficient self-control, they should marry, for it's better to marry than to burn with passion.
What?
That's really good.
Thank you.
It's pretty big, isn't it? Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, I think did you read all the way to
9?
Through 9? Oh, okay.
All right.
Oh, and then it goes on a little bit more, kind of on the same. Let me read 10 too. And to those who are married, because I think this kind of goes along with that. Mm-hmm. I give you this charge, which is not mine but the Lord's, that the wife should not depart from her husband, except to go shopping. But if she does, then she should either remain unmarried or reconcile with her husband. And a husband should not divorce his wife. To the rest I say, which is not a saying of the Lord, if a brother has an unbelieving wife, and she is content to live with him, he should not divorce her. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer, and he is content to live with her, she should not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been made holy by the believing wife, and the unbelieving wife has been made holy by her believing husband by virtue of his or her sacred union to a believer. I think I'll stop there. Oh,
I wanted to ask you one question now.
Mm-hmm.
You said that about the husband shall not keep the wife from going shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything in there about leaving your credit card at home when you did that?
No, that's within his sacred right.
I just wanted to know. Gotta have a little levity once in a while.
Yeah, maybe. I believe that this is a talk about marriage and sex.
Well,
but there has to be, I mean, you know, truly,
yeah.
This is a mystery of Christ in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, how about let's see what anybody has to say, either about the physical meaning of it or the spiritual meaning of it. My feeling is, you know, we talk about the wife as the soul, the female, and the husband is the spirit. So in that way, it would be, you know, your emotions and your, you know, should be in subjection to the spirit that is dwelling within you.
Well, I can tell you what I think about that. I feel like this. I feel like that if a wife is in submission to her husband, or the husband is in submission to his wife concerning those things there, or the sexual thing that you're talking about, mm-hmm. then I feel like that, you know, there's not going to be that much straying out there. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of, some people use, just to put it bluntly, some people use sex as a tool to you know, they withhold it.
And because, a weapon.
Yeah, and a weapon. They withhold it, and they do this and that because to try to control somebody. And I think that's wrong, and I believe that, you know, if a wife takes care of her husband at home and, you know, his needs, and he takes care of her needs at home, then there's not going to be a whole lot of stuff going on out there, and, you know, away from the home, you know. And that's just the way I look at it. I mean, you know, that's my feelings on it. And, you know, I mean, when he says that the wife has not power, in King James he says has not power over her body, but the husband, and the husband has not power over his body, but the wife. And sometimes when people are yoked together, one person has a way greater appetite for sex than the other one. And in the sense that if it's someone that has the greater appetite, and that then that's not being fulfilled, then sometimes they might tend to stray more than they would if it was taken care of. But I mean, that's, you know, it goes both ways. You know? Sometimes it's the woman that has the greater appetite, and sometimes it's the man, you know.
This makes, it goes in direct opposition to my body, my choice.
Yeah. And well, it really does. You're right, it does.
I think that a good union mm-hmm. of a husband and wife, which kind of takes in the whole sex thing, mm-hmm. but so much more, begins long before you hop in bed.
Oh, it does.
It has to do with being kind and generous right. to each other, and right. you know, understanding and not being controlling. And there's a whole relationship right. of husband and wife that is the mystery of Christ in the church.
Right.
And I see.
Well, if it goes ahead and says that a husband is to love his wife like Christ loved the church, and he gave himself completely for the church. You know, up in Ephesians, when we get up
is
in Ephesians.
Is that in Ephesians?
It's in Ephesians, mm-hmm. yeah.
yeah.
I think it's in the fifth chapter, I think, Ephesians. But, you know, Paul said, I speak a mystery, I'm concerning a mystery,
yes.
but I'm really talking about Christ and the church, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even in the natural, when you take this on a natural plane, you know, some women weaponize sex and some men weaponize sex, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? In the sense that they use it against the other person, and that really shouldn't be like that. I mean, you know, it's I don't think God wants you to do that. And you know, sometimes when men stray or when women stray, it's because they're not being taken care of at home. You know, and you know, that goes against women's liberation. You know, to a certain extent, and it could go against what some men might say, their liberation, you know what I mean? Because if they're not in agreement with that. But a lot of times you very, very seldom find two people that are so equally yoked together that they both have the same desires in that category, you know. So.
Where is it in Ephesians?
Try chapter 5.
5. Let's kind of see what he says there.
It's either chapter 5 or chapter 6.
Just go ahead.
I want to quote on, say something on 7:3, where it says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto her husband. It's got a note here on that. And it says, render unto the wife due benevolence. Married couples should have normal sexual relations. Permanent
abstaining,
provides or probes the other partner of his or her natural right and may be conductive to temptation.
Well, yeah, that's what...
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I said, go elsewhere. Without mentioning any names, I knew a guy down at work that he had just gotten married for the 7th time. And the day after his marriage, I watched him look at another woman walking past him. And I said, I'll take care of that. So she went past and I said, hey man, did you get married yesterday? He goes, yeah. I said, what was that look you was looking at her with? And so help me, he said it, because I thought it was the perfect thing to be said, but he said it. Well, it doesn't hurt to look. I said, well, it's hurt 7 women in your life.
Try 521 and from there on down.
Anyway.
I'm going to be reading it in the Passion.
All right.
Did you got it in the...
This is King James. I can bring
it up. You want it in the other one?
If you want it in the Amplified, I can bring it up in that.
Let me just try it in here. 521?
Yeah.
Start there, yeah.
Oh, loving relationships. And out of your reverence for Christ, be supportive of each other in love. For wives, this means being devoted to your husband, like you are tenderly all devoted to the Lord.
And the King James says it like this. It says submitting yourselves one to another. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not just a wife submitting to you, but that's you submitting to her too. And then it goes both ways. And it's a balanced thing. It's submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto mm-hmm. your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. You know, like I say, in this translation, a lot of today, the way, you know, women's liberation or whatever is, they would have a tendency that would go against what's being taught out there in the world. But when you talk about submitting one to another, that's you submitting, and even you submitting to, let's say, even if you wanted to have a relationship and your wife didn't want to, that's you submitting to her in that aspect too, you know, because there's reasons for that and stuff. But, you know, sex, and I'm going to talk about just sex because that's really basically what we're talking about here. Sex in our day and age is so centered in everything. You know, the commercials, the movies, everything is sexual just about. I mean, they sell a car. It ain't about the car. It's about bringing some seductive woman or talking like, oh, everything's going to be wonderful if you just buy this car, you know, or something. But everything is geared in that direction. And, you know, it's kind of sad in a way that everything is like that, because it shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. But you know, this is really, like I say, this is a very controversial subject for women and for men both, because it's not always the men who are aggressive sexually. There's women that are aggressive sexually,
especially in these days.
Yeah, a lot. You know, and sometimes, you know, it's. Well, it goes both ways. I mean, it swings both ways there. But
you know, and Mike always says when he watches TV, which we very seldom do anymore, mm-hmm. every commercial, it seems like, makes a goat out of a man.
Oh yeah,
fool.
They make
out
fun
of
men constantly.
Yes.
They do.
Yes, yeah, and deride them and put them down.
Right.
And
right.
That's another thing in our in our society today that, you know,
it's an agenda.
They're not given any honor.
Well, I've actually shared sermons on this before, but if you read this here out of the Amplified Bible, this section here, mm-hmm. It tells the wife to see that she reverences her husband, she honors him, she defers to him. You're really palling on the woman, you know, if you read it in the Amplified. But literally what it's saying is that, and I know as being a man, when a woman wants you to do something around the house, if she nags you, you have a tendency not to do it, you know. But if a woman comes to you and says, oh, honey, you're so big and strong, I can't do this. Would you do this for me or something? You know, you'll jump over the counter and you'll kill yourself. You'll kill yourself trying to do it. And that's just, that's playing to, that man's ego, so to speak, building him up. And then it's the same as if a man says to a woman, oh, honey, you look so pretty today, and you just, that dress just looks so good on you, and all this kind of stuff, then, you know, she's going to do anything she can for you. And you know, that. But what that is that's just mutually building and bonding and building each other up. But, you know, I had to laugh when Minnie lived with us. I can't remember, something was going on in the bathroom she used downstairs. And she said something to Margaret about, you know, about having me fix it, you know. And Margaret says, you know, she says, I don't approach him like that. She said, because if I do, he won't do it. Mm-hmm. She says, if he tells me he'll do it, I need to leave it alone and let he'll do it, you know. But if I start pushing him to do it, mm-hmm. he tends to pull back and he won't do it until he's ready to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's human nature to a certain extent. And men tend to be like that. If you start nagging them to do something, they tend to not do it. And if a man starts, you know, berating his wife to try to get her, that don't work. You got to mutually build each other up. Mm-hmm. And women of old, you know, back in years ago, men pretty much ruled over women, you know, in that sense. But women of old were smart. They knew how to get that man to do everything they wanted him to do by using the right tack there, and they tended to do that. And it's the same way with men. If you try to get women to do something, it's better if you do it with love and with affection and with building up, you know. And I mean, it's trying to force somebody to do something is not a good. It's not a good premise anytime, you know, on either level there, you know.
I got to brag on Clyde because whenever I ask him to do something, he already did it, or he'll drop what he's doing and do it.
Yeah.
Thank you, babe.
You're welcome. Hey, I think we're missing the whole point. Okay. It says I'm reading out the Amplified.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the,
are you in Ephesians or Corinthians?
I'm in Ephesians, the 5th chapter,
okay.
The 21st verse.
Good.
We don't have to read too far to be connected to what's going on here. The very first thing that says, honor Christ. That's what we should be doing. By submitting to each other. That's proof that we
mm-hmm.
honor him.
Mm-hmm.
We should realize that's mm-hmm. the proof. Whatever. You always say something about hits the road when, you know, the.
Mm-hmm.
It says, honor Christ by submitting to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says, you wives must submit to your husbands. Now, I know a lot of men that would like to stop it there.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest with you, if they stop it there, they've stopped honoring God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it goes back to the reflection of why it's there. It's there that we would honor God. It says, and it says, must submit to your husband's leadership in the same way you submit to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, we've been married a few days, and I told Debbie, I said, I'm not going to treat you as though you owe me anything, or I'm do it because I'm your husband. I'm going to treat you just the way Christ treats me. He set me free. That's what I feel like I tried to do with her. Let her be free in everything that she, you know, wants to do, or, you know, let her have her own mind. Let this, you just can't rule and think, well, you know, I taught her this way. Well, I got news for you. God's teaching me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's teaching me to honor him by submitting to each other. And that includes everyone in this room. I mean, it's just not a marriage thing, but he's talking about it here. And it says, in charge of his body, the church. Now, I've watched the church a lot over the years. The main problem with the church is they don't submit to Christ. I think I said fickle not too long ago in here. I watch people's lives. Well, you know, God has indicator of how he's going to deal with people. And his word is his indicator. His word declares, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. As what? As your soul prospers. So if you're not coming to allow your soul to prosper, chances are you're coming for some type of physical need or some type of thing that you're eliminating yourself. Because we're not ironing Christ by submitting to each other. I mean, there's a lot of people. I've heard him say it a lot. He goes like this, maybe people don't come because they don't like it, you know. Well, I want to tell you something. The truth's still consuming him. I'm just going to tell it like it is. The truth's still consuming him. And that's the truth that I behold. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't have the freedoms that we have. I mean, I know he's been quoted that by a lot of people that have come in here and talked. Well, how can you do that? Well, first of all, he's not here one Sunday a month. Know those that labor among you. Who knows him? Everyone in this room should know him really good. Why? Because he does labor among us. And what else does he do? He gives us the freedom to honor Christ by submitting to each other. I mean, that's really the message of this. I mean, a lot of people, you know, this ain't something, unless the Holy Spirit moves upon them, this ain't something some 50 or 60-year-old can really grab hold of. But I tell you what, I see a lot of rebellion in younger people not wanting to come under subjection.
Well, we live in a very rebellious society in general. I mean, people are rebellious. And,
you know, but when I used to teach teenagers, I used to tell them, if a policeman comes in here and tells you to get on the floor, I want you to get on the floor. Because it's one that reflects authority, not just the fear of getting shot, but respecting the authority, submitting to one another. If a fireman comes in here and tells you to get on your knees because you're going to have to crawl under smoke, I say, I expect you to do that. But listen to this. I also expect you to do those things when I am no more. I mean, come on. There's one thing that is universal. Universal is authority. Now, we believe in the sovereignty of God, thank God, that we believe he is in total control of all that exists. All things were made by him and for him, and without him was anything made. I mean, you know, the honor of honoring is, like we said before we actually started, people don't come. First of all, because they don't want to submit. And second of all, because they got a bunch of stiff-necked people. No wonder their heads hurt and their necks hurt and everything else.
Can I throw one thing in? The organized churches out there put out a form of godliness, but with entertainment and with, you know, drawing in and sometimes people who have itchy ears and want the excitement of the entertainment aren't ready for the blessing of contentment in Christ.
Well, you know, because Carl always had, he looked at me, Carl Hamlin, he said, Clyde says it right. I said, well, it says godliness with contentment is great gain.
Yes.
But the world, we should realize the world, we're not here to be either entertained or entertain people.
Mm-hmm.
But we are here to walk as though we're honoring Christ by submitting to each other. Now, how could you ever do that? I mean, you have people, they don't understand where you've been or what you've been through or who you know. I would say that. That's a good one. Who you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since we know whom Christ is and the God is and Jesus is and the Holy Spirit is, since we know that, shouldn't we be more at liberty to share that and to express to where I mean, how many times you ever talk about how free God has made you? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an exciting thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not exciting to those who haven't experienced it, but the day they seek Him with His whole heart, according to the Word, they will experience it.
You know, Clyde, some of the stuff that you were saying there, you know, if you take that into what you were saying concerning me, you know, which I believe that there's a lot of people who have gotten offended at me because I try to teach out of the Word. I don't try to teach out of little stories and little this and that much. When I get up there on Sunday morning, I teach. And I'll tell you why I teach. Because I can stand and tell you all the stories in the world, but if I don't tell you how to do what God is telling you to do, mm-hmm. then it's of no value. You know what I'm saying? It's like, let's put it in a natural thing where you can understand. If I'm a math teacher and I get up and I say, well, you know, math is wonderful, it's great, and you can do all kind of things with math, and you can do this, and you can do that, and you can do something else, you can build big buildings if you know math, and you do all that, and then I don't teach you math, you ain't gonna be able to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll know that it does that. That's the difference between preaching and teaching. Preaching is to excite you about the Word of God. Teaching is to tell you how to move into the Word of God, how to do it, how it works, and what it's all about. You know, a lot of people don't realize this, like that scripture in Hosea, and I shared it a couple weeks ago, where he talks about the three different types of rain. And that last one is a teaching rain. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, we got tons of preachers out there, and we've got some that are eloquent speakers. And that second form of the latter rain means eloquence too. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's nice to hear somebody get up and they can just eloquently describe something to you and all this, and that's wonderful. And that tickles your ears. But if they're not telling you how to move into it, how to do it, and just like what you're saying over there, you know, you're talking about submission, you know, and you're telling people how to move into that submission, and that you have to take it here first, mm-hmm. you know, and basically that's what you're saying, take it home first to yourself.
It's always got to start there.
That's right. And see, people don't like that because they don't want to submit. They don't want to submit. You know, the crux of this church has always been, as far as I'm concerned, and you know, I'm not gonna be here forever. I mean, you know, I know that. And the crux of what I felt like the Lord has had me try to do is help the body of Christ grow up. They need to grow up. Mm-hmm. They don't need to be have their ears tickled every week. They need to see what the Word of God says. They need to find out that all authority is of God. You mean the authority I like? Is of God, and the authority I don't like, that's not of God? Mm-hmm. No, all authority is right. Of God. If He's got authority in there at the moment that you don't like, guess what? You have to submit as unto the Lord in the right manner. And that means pray for the people, do whatever you got to do. You know, if He's got you in a position where you're on your job, you've got a mean boss, and he says meaner than a snake. Guess what? God put that mean boss in there to be meaner than a snake to you. Why? To work on you, to chip some of the edges off of you. I've told you all the story about Bill that used to be my boss. Bill could push every button in me. I cut my hair punching him out two or three different times. I got so angry with him. You know, almost quit my job. I got so angry with him. You know, he could do it. And you know what? God never changed Bill. I'd pray, God, change Bill, God. Change Bill. You know what? He didn't change Bill.
Right.
Guess who he changed? Me. Mm-hmm. And then finally, when he put me back in a position where I went to the night shift one time to help them out because they were in trouble. Now, I used to never work night shift. They didn't have a night shift for me. Guess who came on and be the night shift foreman? Bill. I had to deal with him. every time I tried to get away from that guy, God would put him right back there with me until finally Bill couldn't push the buttons anymore.
Right.
See? And it wasn't anything with Bill. It was God was trying to change the buttons inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
See? And if you find that you're hearing a word that's irritating the heck out of you, don't look at the person irritating the heck out of you. Say, God, take some of these buttons in me away where this thing doesn't bother me no more. You know what I'm saying? Because, but we're in probably one of the most, our society is so divisive and stuff right now, and people are trying to put people against people, and that's not of the Lord. He wants us to be one. He wants us to love those that despitefully use us, those that we disagree with. You know, and you tell people that, they don't like when you tell them that, because they don't want to love somebody that they don't like. You know?
Remember I told you, the guy come up to me at work, and this is a different man, and he's telling me, you know, he said, I live the golden rule. I said, mm-hmm. You do? He goes, yeah. I said, what's the golden rule? He said, I treat people just the way they treat me.
Yeah,
and I'm not kidding you. I go like this. Well, I said, I guess that could be called a golden rule. But I said, it's not the one that the scripture quotes.
That's the rusty one.
Yeah. And I got that out to him and showed him that.
His corrosive.
I didn't know that. But what I was going to tell you, how to get to where we honor Christ by submitting to each other, how to do that is the fact that, first of all, we know that we know that we know God's word does not return void.
Right.
Whatever proceeds out of your mouth or out of his mouth, into your lips, into your mind,
mm-hmm.
and into your heart. And it's a decoration, to be honest with you, it's a decoration of celebration.
Right.
Because when you hear his voice, my sheep know my voice and none other will they follow. I mean, you don't know how many times, well, I can tell you, every time I change jobs, I look to be promoted. Mm-hmm. That's no lie. I didn't look at just being laid off. I looked at, he's going to add to our family. I'm talking about financially, put us in a place of stableness. I worked at two jobs for 3 years each. The second one I worked at, Josh was born. And when I was working there, the guy said, well, we're doing real good. And the guy that said they're doing real good laid me off the next week.
Mm-hmm.
That's no lie. Laid me off the next week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway. And they had a 3-year callback. 3 years they could call me back. You know what day they called me back? The last day of the third year. And I had been busy all the time working on the other new job, which, to be honest with you, I really enjoyed the new job.
Mm-hmm.
And there was only like 20 cents difference. At the other place, I get 20 cents more. Plus, they informed you'd be getting 3 weeks vacation too. I said, yeah. They said, well, it's something you need to think about. I said, not really. I said, I'm going to stay right where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because I already had peace that this is where God had put me. And where God put you, now, I've told some friends of mine, if he's put you where you're going, then you're planted. But if you get upset and emotional and get stupid, I said, then you'll uproot yourself. And God will never bless your family wherever you go. He only blesses you where you're planted.
Well, when you think about it,
mm-hmm.
if you come into the church and you have to submit, nobody wants to admit they have to submit. And when you hear something from the Lord when you're in church, and it touches you, what's the first thing that happens? You take offense, because now it's personal to you. And you have to admit to yourself that I'm in the wrong. And nobody likes to do that.
No.
And that's why I believe there are a lot of things in the churches. The churches today preach feel-good messages.
That's right.
And they do that because people don't want to be offended. Now, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but it's at a certain point, you have to get to the point where, what does God really want from me? Not to make me feel good, But what does God really want for me? For him, not for me.
What's the answer to that?
Submission.
Well,
grow up.
I preached a sermon years ago, and the Lord about the perfect law of liberty, and the Lord showed me that the perfect law of liberty is submission. If you want to be at liberty in the Lord, total liberty in the Lord, you have to be in submission. When you're in submission to His Spirit, then He can allow His authority, His power, His everything to flow through you. Now we look out there and you know we got even people in the church here that have things wrong with them. You know, they have pains and this and that, different physical ailments and stuff. And we question sometimes and say, Lord, why aren't people getting healed? And why isn't this happening? Why isn't that happening? You know what I mean? And you tend to question that sometimes. But I tell you what, when we get to a place of perfect submission to Him, that stuff will happen, but it will happen in God's time, in His way. And that's what we have to realize. We've sung that on time God song. There's a appointed time for everything. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy in the book of Acts went and sat at the gate beautiful. And they don't tell you how many years that he went there every Sunday or every Saturday or whatever, or every day even.
Right.
And begged alms every day. But there was an appointed time when Peter and them were getting ready to go into there.
Yes.
And they were begging alms of him. And what did he say? Peter said, look on us. In other words, quit looking on your problem.
Right.
Look on us. And then what did he say? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. You know. And that's all you can ever give anybody, what you've got, what God gives you to give to people. You can't give them something else. If they're looking for something else, they're looking in the wrong place. But there's a point in time. That man was sitting there at the right time. And Peter was there at the right time. And God's not a day early, and He's not a day late on anything that He does.
Well, you know, Oscar,
you know, and when you come to that realization, then it begins to take the pressure off of you. Let me just say this too. Now, and I'll shut up. I had someone say, "Well, you know, you talk about sonship too much." You know, I've had somebody say that to me. "You talk about sonship too much." Well, I don't know that I actually get up there and talk about sonship that much, but I talk about what's involved in sonship at times. But you know what? I'm going to keep on talking about sonship until I see some sons of God come forth. When I see them come forth in power and authority and begin to set creation free, then you know what? Then praise God. And Cynthia, when she left here, she told me, she said, "Oscar," she said, I had seen the scriptures about sonship at different times and stuff. She said, "But I want to thank you because, you know, you explained it to where I understood what it was all about," basically is what she said. You know, well, that's, thank God, that's what it was about. If you don't understand it, if you don't know what it's about, then what are you going to do it? Well, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, what? These are the sons of God. Mm-hmm. Submission. You can't be led without submitting. How can you be led if you don't submit? You know, and it goes all back to simple things, basic things. You know, taking this back to where we are in our lesson here. If a wife submits to her husband and he submits to her, you know, I've done some counseling with people on marriage before, and I asked a woman one time, because she was telling me some things that was going on, and I always hold that stuff to myself, you know, but I don't never do that without someone else being there too. I don't counsel with people just by myself usually. But anyway, I said, "Let me ask you a question. What part of the marriage can you do?" And she said, finally said, "Well, just my part." I said, "You're right. Do your part. If he isn't doing his part, then you're doing, and you do your part, that will become very obvious that he's not doing his part. It'll even become obvious to him. See? And a lot of times, rather than getting fired up and doing something to get back or retaliating or something, it's pretty hard to stay mad at somebody if they don't act like they're mad at you. I mean, it's pretty hard. I mean, you can do it, but it don't work out real long, because eventually you begin to realize, hey, they're still being nice to me, and they're still treating me the way they always did, you know. And then it's kind of one of them situations where you have to, it begins to shine the light back into your venue, see. But, you know, just do your part. That's all God expects you to ever do. Do what he's directing you to do. And that's the only part you can do. And in the body, you know, your thumb can only be a thumb. It can't be a toe. It can't be an elbow. It can't be anything like that. But boy, it's necessary that it acts as a thumb, because that does a lot of the work, you know. And if we just take what we've been talking about here, even the submission thing. If you're a wife, be a submissive wife. If you're a husband, be a submissive husband. You know, and if you do it both ways, it's gonna bring forth a lot of fruit. But if it's only on one side, it'll become very apparent that it's only on one side. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm gonna go back to what you were talking about. We're talking about healing,
mm-hmm.
and you say, and we say, well, why isn't this person being healed? Who are we to say that he isn't? Doesn't have to be physical,
mm-hmm.
you know. Could be an entirely different
mm-hmm.
thing than what we think of. Who are we to
you know
to
what?
Judge
You're
if
right.
he is or he isn't?
God deals isn't. With roots.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
We deal with what's above ground.
Mm-hmm.
We don't deal with roots.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We overlook the roots. But anybody that's done any garden at all knows that you got to turn that ground over and kind of shake the roots up every once in a while.
Exactly like Oscar talks about when his mother said, if I know the Lord, you are being healed. You know, it was a process.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And maybe there wasn't much to see, and certainly not in your intelligence. You know, you would still have the feelings.
Well, the Lord
walked out of it.
Yeah, he taught me to walk out of it by mm-hmm. faith. That's right. Basically what he did.
Well, without faith, you couldn't please him anyway.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And I think what he was teaching me in essence over all of the years in that thing is that everything that I do is basically a process.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it happens instantly, and sometimes it takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know. You know,
can I read just what these titles on this top of this book is in Ephesians? First thing it says, don't grieve the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, husbands, love your wives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't grieve the Spirit. Because actually that's what happens when husbands don't love their wives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a type of grieving the Spirit. One time somebody said something to me in the church years ago, and I says, I said, do you know if I sit down and shut up? I said, I'd say some people might like that, but I said, to be honest with you, I could grieve the Spirit by keeping my mouth shut. They said, what? I said, God speaks to me. I believe he's given every one of us a spirit
mm-hmm.
of, what is it called?
Discernment.
Thank you. And I mean, I just believe that, you know, when it's put out there, and it's Romans 8:1,
mm-hmm.
when it's put out there with that, chances are that discernment should have never left your lips. It should have never came forth, because it's a condemning spirit. And that's not God. I mean, we know that to be fact. And so those that are led of the Spirit are the children of God. Well, you'll find out what kind of children we are by what proceeds out of our mouth.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about this before, and you know the person I'm talking about. But one time this particular person came up for prayer, and this was years and years ago, and I was a fairly young Christian then. I mean, I'd been a Christian for a while, but I was, and when this person came up, I felt like that the Lord wanted him to make a commitment to the Lord. And I actually had a couple of the elders almost rebuked me over mm-hmm. that. They basically said, well, that's not what he's up here for, to receive the Lord, it's for salvation. And then he looked at him and said, that's exactly why I came up here.
Wow.
That's exactly why. And I thought, well, see, there you go. It was healing, but that was the true healing.
Yeah, right.
That was
a root.
What you were saying. Mm-hmm. That was the true healing that needed to take place. And that guy did go on eventually to be with the Lord, And he wasn't physically healed, But we know he was spiritually healed.
Yeah. Wow.
and see, we put too much emphasis on this flesh, this fleshly body. It's corruptible. It's corrupting on a daily basis. This thing is... it's going to corrupt until it goes back into the ground and turns into dirt again, eventually. But you know what? The inner man is the true man. That's the real man, The hidden man of the heart. That's what really counts,
Well, it tells us enough times in the scripture that we lose sight, and we really do. We go blind to the fact of what's valuable, and in God's eyes, mm-hmm. eternal. Is valuable. I heard somebody the other day say it. He said, well, to be honest with you, if you look at your life now and you look at eternity, you can't even look like that. You can't even, you're only here for a very short time. And then we're there for eternity. He said, which one's the longest? Right there. But I also try to tell people, I believe it. You can have eternal life right here. You don't have to wait from this life to the next. My goodness, that's like the prodigal son, the brother that got mad at the dad. Always you've had this opportunity. The reason you didn't know is because you didn't ask. And the scripture says you have not for you ask not. Mm-hmm. I'll show
you. That was a good poem you sent me today. That was really good. You ought to read that first sometime. You still got it. You got it with you? I think I have it in my phone. I think I still have it. That was a really good phone.
Who's gonna pray? Did we pray at the beginning? Well, somebody has to pray twice then.
Father, we thank you for this class and for all that you mean to us and the word that comes forth here, Lord. Thank you for opening our ears and our hearts.
Yes.
And we pray that your word comes forth in the service and that it touches people where they need healing or understanding, whatever, Father, we trust you, and we just thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.